Good morning. So nice to see you all. I've been away for a few days, but it's lovely to see your smiling faces again. So keep smiling. Welcome. I'm one of the deacons in the church. I think most of you know who I am. I'm Nick Freeman, one of the deacons. If you are new to the church or visiting today, we welcome you. We hope you'll have a good time with us today. If you want to talk to me after the service about what goes on at Newbury Baptist Church, feel free to come and speak to me. Just a couple of notices I wanted to share with you. Rowena's reminded me that there are things in the pigeonholes which have not been picked up. So if you could go to your alphabetic pigeonhole, which is just outside the double doors there, and have a look and see if there's anything which has your name on it, it would be good to pick it up so things don't get left behind. Thank you. You should have received the what we call the term card as you came in this morning, which has been passed to you by Rosemary. That contains the sort of information which takes us through September to December. I'm not going to read out all the notices. I'll ask you to look at them, and obviously you'll be able to see what events and activities are going to be on over those 3 months. So please do take that and read it and digest it. Thank you very much. I'm just going to lead us in some words from Revelation before we sing our first song. This is from Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain with your blood, and with your blood you purchased men for God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests and to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." With these words in mind, let's stand to sing our first song, "Majesty, Worship His Majesty." Thank you.
Majesty, worship His majesty. please, let's sing So Exalt.
And so exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Majesty, worship.
Please take a seat. Carl, come and join me. I want to push you forward. Yeah, okie dokie. Coming round. Face the audience. They're not that frightening. Well, at least we stop now. I've stopped anyway. Do you want your brakes on? Are you okay? Most of you know Carl, but you might not know what he does in his spare time. So I'm going to ask him a few questions about what you do. So
good
I understand
morning.
You're involved with... Oh, go on.
Good morning.
I understand you're involved with a radio station called Radio Enham. So tell us about how you got involved with that.
My support worker, Paul, found it and looked it up online. I looked it up and thought, yes, I'd be interested. So I went for a trial run, enjoyed it so much, I wanted to carry on with it. And that's how I got involved, basically.
Great. And how long have you been working there now, then?
Just over 2 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. And how can we listen in to you? What wavelength are you on?
We're only online at the moment.
You're on what, sorry?
We're only on the internet.
On the internet, okay.
So has anybody got internet access out there?
So what, do you go onto the WW Radio Enham or something, do you?
It's www.radioenham.co.uk.
Right, and then we'll hear you, will we?
Apart from this week, because I won't be there this week because I'm away.
Are you having a holiday, are you? I suppose you're allowed, it's holiday season. And what time are you normally on?
11 till 1 in the morning.
11 till 1 in the morning, right, okay. So have an early kip and then get up at 11 and listen to Carl through to 1 in the morning. And how can we contact you if we want to at the station?
If you email radioenham@enhamtrust.org.uk.
Right.
And that's 11 o'clock in the morning. Sorry, not 11 o'clock at night.
And we can leave nice messages for you, can we?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Bless you. Let's just pray for Carl. Lord, we thank you for Carl. We thank you, Lord, for his commitment to working with the radio station at Enham. And we pray, Lord, that you bless him and inspire him and, Lord, lead him in this work. We pray that what he says and the contacts that he makes with other people would be a real blessing and encouragement. And we pray for much encouragement for him as he continues to serve you in this way, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks,
Carl. Let's push you back. Right, well, from Carl, I want all the kids to come up front now. So look lively. All you young children, any ages will do. It's a treasure hunt, by the way. Oh, that suddenly got you all excited, doesn't it? Right, where's my script? Okay, I want you to have a little, I'll put this down. I want you to have a little rummage around in there, see what you can find. Not too much scrapping, but apart from paper, there's something else in there. Can you get your hands in? Maybe one at a time. Anything? Anybody found anything yet?
No.
Take some of you. Take your hands out, and one of you have a go. Or maybe you want to just pull the paper out.
Hang on.
Okay, what have we found? Oh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's more. There's more. I'll tell you what, I'll tip them out. See what you can find. Rummage, rummage. It's going to make a mess. Somebody's got to clean up afterwards. Never mind. Well, what have you found then? Tell me what you found. Some of you have found something. Yeah, apart from the paper, what else have we found? Do you know what they are? What sort of beads? Do you want to turn around and show them to the people who are looking from behind? Anybody know what they are?
Pearls.
Pearls. Do you think they're pearls? Real pearls? Not real pearls. No. She's very wise. Some of them think they're real? Yes, you think they're real. Okay. Right. Well, they're actually fake, I'm afraid. I'm sorry about that. But what I do have are some real pearls. Hey. Now, I can't let you have these because they're my wife's. And if you actually were to pull them apart, I wouldn't... She wouldn't be very happy with me. But how do I know these are real pearls? Go on.
Because they're smaller.
They're smaller. That could be true. Any other ideas as to how I know these are real pearls?
They were expensive.
They were expensive. I spent a lot of money on them, actually, yeah. believe it or not, I bought them for my wife, Diane, in Singapore some years ago. And the shopkeeper told me they were real. So I sort of took his word for it that they were real, because he seemed like a nice, honest chap. And they were costly, so I thought, well, if they're costly, they're probably going to be real. Do any of you others know how you test whether a pearl's real or not? Thank you, Dawn. You do it with your teeth. So if you do that with a real pearl, it grates. Do you want to have a go? No, you don't? Do you... Just put that between your teeth. Just to grate it a little. Is it grating? Do you want to do it? You hold it and try and do it. Just lightly grate it. Can you feel? It's like a stone. Anyway, thank you. So you can go and sit down now. Sorry about not giving you real pearls. So that's an example of what's real and what's fake. And a bit later in the service, I'm going to be sharing with the adults about what the best treasure is, and that is knowing Jesus and finding the kingdom of heaven. And as with these pearls, which are very valuable, and I want to keep them safe, it's important that you, of all of us, whether we're adults or children, when we find Jesus, we put our trust in him, and we value that relationship above all others and keep it safe. So that's what we should be doing as Christians. And now we're going to sing about that. We're going to sing the song, Knowing Jesus, All I Once Held Dear. Thank you.
To possess
by faith what I could not earn, or surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my own, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Love you, Lord.
Okay, we're just going to pray for the young people and the children as they go off to their activities. Let's just have a short prayer. Lord and Father, we pray your blessing upon our children and our young people now as they go off to their activity. Lord, may they have an encouraging time. We look forward to hearing from the end of the service as to what they've been up to. So bless them now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. So, youngsters, off you go to the back. And now we're going to have our reading, which Roger's going to bring to us. Thank you, Roger.
Matthew chapter 13 from verse 44. This section entitled The Parables of the Hidden Treasure and the Pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it.
Thank you, Roger. Short reading, but an awful lot in it, which I'm going to give a brief talk on now. Hopefully the children's talk that I've just delivered helped you to appreciate the importance of giving real rather than fake pearls to your wives. They won't appreciate the fake ones very much. And don't try to be tricky, because bearing in mind I've shown you what the tooth test is, if you give them some that aren't real pearls and they do the tooth test, they're going to know they're not real. So, hey, don't try to be tricky. Why not bless your wives with some new pearls? Anyway, joking apart, the passage that Roger's just read to us is Jesus explaining how valuable the kingdom of heaven is and the importance of treasuring it and looking after it once we've found it. There isn't really going to be time today to provide an exegesis on what the kingdom of heaven means, and this would take a lot more than 10 minutes, and as you would appreciate. And I don't have more than 10 minutes or much more than 10 minutes this morning. So, and I'm not sure if I could even give you a hard and fast definition of what the kingdom of heaven actually means. But maybe Richard, our new minister, can come back to this in one of his sermons and take about at least an hour to explain what the kingdom of heaven is. Or maybe he will say, like I do, that it's not that straightforward. There you are. I'll leave it to him to tell you. Some might say that the kingdom of heaven is the here and now for all Christians who've believed in Jesus and received Christ. We have salvation through Christ, and we are then into the kingdom of God. and we're living in the kingdom of God in our daily lives as we move around as Christians. Mothers might say the kingdom of heaven is still to come. It's something that we will reach, heaven we will reach when we die, hopefully, and that actually, therefore, it's something for the future. So that there's kind of different ways of looking at it, and as I say, it's not necessarily very straightforward. In John 18, verse 36, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world, my kingdom is from another place." So it isn't this world, it's from another place. Now, Roger has read the particular passage from Matthew chapter 13, but in Matthew chapter 13 we can find a number of other parables which talk about the kingdom of heaven. There's the parable of the weeds, there's the parable of the mustard seed, there's the parable about a net. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into a lake. I'm not going to spend time looking at all those this morning, but what I would do is to encourage you to look at those in your own time, look at those different parables and scenarios and dwell on them and pray about them and ask that God will open your eyes to understanding of them. That's what I hope you would do. But what is clear is that the kingdom of heaven is a treasure of great price, which we as Christians need to recognize. And in the parable that was read to us, we have the man and his field, or a field, sorry, which he didn't own, but he found the treasure, and then he went out, he buried it again, and he went out and bought the field. So he'd actually made sure that he kept that treasure. And then again, another example was the man who desired fine pearls. When he found them, these pearls of great value, which I showed you earlier, he went away and sold everything he had and bought those pearls. What does that suggest to us about the kingdom of heaven, how important it is? Well, it's, as I say, it's something of great price, which we need to recognize. So what I'd sort of say to you this morning is, well, how much do we as individuals value our salvation and the promise of Jesus to be with Christ in his kingdom? How much value do we place on that compared to other things which are going on in our lives? Is it the most important thing in our lives, which we treasure above all other things, all other material things, or indeed all things? Is it something we treasure more, or is it something which is maybe seen as something we come to, but it's actually not that important? Now, I'll be honest with you, because honesty is obviously an important part of being a Christian. I get distracted by things of the world. I get distracted by things like the Olympics, but bless the Olympics, wonderful, and fantastic what we've achieved. But there are things which take us away and can absorb too much of our time and can take us to places where we shouldn't be as well. But we can get involved in so many things because there's so much to appeal to us in this world. And I've got my own agenda, and I guess I'm sure you've got your own agendas in your life as to what you want to do, what you want to achieve, where your jobs are, about your family, your futures, and the rest of it. And it's not that God isn't concerned about those, because obviously he is, but sometimes in focusing solely on those things, we get distracted and we lose what is the greatest relationship we can have of highest value, which is our relationship with God through Jesus. And I suppose the critical point about that is who is harmed by that? Well, when we neglect that relationship, it's we who suffer. It's you who suffer because your connection with God, your Maker through Jesus, is weakened. And because of that, we don't really have the full life that God wants us to have. Another passage in Matthew, which I'm sure you'll be familiar with from Sermon on the Mount, is Matthew 6, verses 19 to 20, which make it clear that we should not be seeking to store up treasure on this earth, because it will all waste away, it will all rot away, it will all disappear. And however much we have of it, whether we're Donald Trump or anybody else in the world who thinks they've got everything, it will all disappear and it will be worth nothing in the end. So we shouldn't be storing up treasures on earth. we should be storing up treasures in heaven. And I think what that means is we should be showing love and compassion to one another. These are just some examples. We should be trusting God as our guide, and the one we should trust in. We should be using our resources wisely, not just looking after ourselves, but and indeed our families, but also blessing others and looking out to bless other people. So, what is it in your lives that you really treasure and keep safe and look after? Is it your car? Is that the really important thing in your life? Is the new car or the fastest, the smartest, the best, the most up-to-date? Is that what really inspires you? Or is it your home and what you might do to your home and how smart you might make it and all the things you might add to it? Is it your job? Is it maybe a dream holiday that you've been saving up for? Or maybe the latest iPhone or electronic gadget or something like that? Now again, God doesn't want us not to have things, I'm not saying that, but he does want us to be get these things in perspective. So do we place a higher value on these things than our relationship with God and his kingdom? And if we do, we need to reflect, I think, on that, and we need to make some changes in our lives, and we need to get back to where God wants us to be, which is trusting in him and desiring his presence in our lives. Let's put it this way, if God was to invite you today to join him for his party, he's throwing a party today at 3 o'clock, would you say, no, I'm sorry, too busy, got something else on this afternoon, and you've got other things to do? Is that what you'd say? And I reflected on what Matthew 22 said. I think I've got time to read this, so I will. This is a parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who'd been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who've been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready for those I invited, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests." As this is a fairly graphic account of the consequences of refusing God's offer of salvation. I think that's sort of putting it in a nutshell. And we may find it too harsh, and we may say, well, I wouldn't shoot the messengers if they came along and invited me to a party. I wouldn't kill the messengers. But we need to recognize that we have been offered and invited to receive the most valuable gift, which we need to treasure and look after, and not to disrespect it. And if we do, there are consequences, which mean that our relationship with God becomes damaged and it becomes weakened. So, 10 minutes is up, could go on longer, but as I close, I ask you to examine honestly where you place this relationship in terms of your priorities. If it's not a priority or something which you do occasionally think about, please change and give it the highest priority and value. And don't let it waste away, and certainly don't let it get stolen by the thief, and the thief in this case is Satan. And pray about it. Prayer is very important, as we know. So pray about the situation if you find it hard to draw close to God. And seek the support of Christian friends. We're a Christian family here. And I hope and pray that if people are struggling, that we will come alongside one another and help us in those circumstances. We've got small groups which provide a forum for that. We have pastoral care for people. We have Bob, which is a group for men, which meets every fortnight. We have prayer triplets and prayer couplets and so on. And there are ways and means we should be able to encourage one another and make sure that each of us is supported, and I hope we will do that as well. And just remember that where your treasure is, for where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So if you treasure God, your heart is with God. Let's have a brief prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are a treasure of great price. And we thank you that we have access to that treasure through Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son to die for us, and that he died for our sins and in our place. And that because of that, we can have fellowship with you. And Father God, that message, may it resound in our hearts and our minds. May it be the thing that inspires us day to day. May we not neglect it, Lord. May we value it. May we treasure it. May we place it in the highest place, which is what you want us to do, Lord. Help us in this, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. And we are, I think, going to sing again, which this time is The Splendour of the King. So if you can stand, please stand as we sing The Splendour of the King. Thank you.
The splendour of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end. Beginning and the end, the Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God.
Let's sing Name Above All Names.
The name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God.
Sing it again, name above all names.
Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Lord, and Father, you have given us so much. And Lord, we give back to you now something, just a small token, Lord, of what you've given to us. But Lord, we thank you that we can give to the work of this church. And we pray, Lord, that this money that has been received and all the offerings that come in through other means, Lord, into this church will be used wisely for the extension of your kingdom in this place, we pray. Amen. Please take a seat. Thank you. Are we going to have a time of prayer now? So let's pray. Lord and Father, we give you thanks that we can come to you in prayer. And Lord, we wish now, Lord, to meet with you through prayer and to offer to you prayers of intercession. We thank you, Lord, that you've promised that through the finished work of Jesus, we can do this and that you will hear our prayers and, Lord, you will act upon them. Lord and Father, we firstly thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Olympics, which we have been able to witness over the last few days. We thank you for the success of all the athletes, Lord, not just our own country's athletes, Lord, but every athlete, Lord, all those who've taken part. We thank you, Lord, for them. And Lord, we praise you for what they show to us, Lord, as an example of commitment. Lord, we know from what many of them have said in interviews just how much they have devoted of their lives to training and to preparing for this particular event, which only comes round every 4 years. We thank you, Lord, for that example. And Lord, it's an example that we can take to heart, Lord, as we think about our Christian lives, about commitment, about sacrifice, about dedication. And I pray, Lord, that we would seek medals in the sense of working for you, Lord, in the spiritual realms. Lord, that you would lead us and guide us. And Lord, help us to be committed and help us to be more dedicated, Lord, in what we do in your service. And Father, we think of our world, which is so troubled with war and suffering. And there are many countries where this is happening, Lord. There'll be places today we don't even know about where people are dying and suffering. But we lift especially to you this morning Syria, again because the situation there is so terrible in places like Aleppo. And Lord, we no doubt would have seen on our television screens, most of us, this little boy who is numbed and bloodied, a little five-year-old boy sitting on a chair. And Lord, if that doesn't move us, I don't know what does. So let's just take a moment of quietness and silence to think of him and to pray for him and to pray for all those children in Syria who are in a similar circumstance, Lord, who are suffering in that way. And for the families too, who've lost children, who've died, let's just take a moment, offer your prayers in silence for the situation. Now, Lord, we pray for governments in all these countries where there is insurrection. Lord, we pray for good leaders and ones which will seek to bring peace and to stop the bloodshed. We pray for countries like Russia and the USA and Great Britain and France, who have so much influence over world politics, that they too, Lord, would want to bring an end to these conflicts. And Lord, that they would work as best they can to achieve this end and to bring some semblance of peace into these countries. And Father, we turn to pray for our own church here in Newbury. We praise and thank you for Richard and Fiona joining us, and we pray for them as they settle into their new home in Newbury, and that they, as they also settle into the church here. And Lord, we pray for new horizons, for the future, for the vision of this church. We pray, Father, that you would inspire Richard, that you would speak to him, that you would put your word in his heart, and Lord, that that word would be shared with us as we go forward over the next few months and years. Father God, we want this church to be a beacon. We want it to be a place of hope and a place of sanctuary and a place of encouragement for Christians. And Father God, help us to support Richard and Fiona. Help us, Lord, to support the deacons and to also get involved in whatever way we can as part of this particular service, Lord. Bless us and lead us forward as a church, we pray. And Father God, our hearts turn to pray for those in need and those who are suffering at this time. And this week, Dennis Barrington, who used to attend the church, died. We lift his family to you, Daphne, his wife, and his family. We pray for them at this time of loss, that you be a comfort to them and a reassurance to them in their suffering. And we think of all those who are sick or in need in our congregation. Lord, some of them we know about, and some of them we pray for. There may be others who don't share their needs, who have needs, Lord, and we want to uphold them too and ask that you help them in their need, Lord, and that they would trust in you. And so, Father, hear our prayers, we pray in the name of Christ. Help us, Lord, to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. Now, I wonder if somebody could bring the children back in, because I'd love to see what they've been doing. And I'm sure you would. And it would be a dreadful shame if they'd spent all that time out there and we didn't know what they'd been doing. So let's find out. Well, what have you been up to? Are you going to show us? I think you should come up here because we need to see what you've been doing. Do you want to show me what you've been doing? What have you been making? What is it? A treasure box. Whee! Is there anything in it?
Yeah.
What's in it? You've got treasure inside. They look very much like chocolate coins to me, is
they
that
are,
right?
They are.
They are, they are. Can I have one?
No.
No, no, okay.
I haven't.
You haven't had all of them yet, no. What have you got in here? Is this yours, Grace? Is that you? Oh, look at that. You've got a coin in there, haven't you? Lovely. What have you got? Have you got the same?
I have got three.
You've got three coins, have you? Right. Was there anything else you put in your treasure boxes? Maybe your leaders can tell me. I think there might be something else in there. Wait for them all to turn up. What have you got? You got the same? Oh, more coins. What are these? I can see what you've got in your box. It's been stuck inside, hasn't it? Can you read that? Are you good at reading? Wait a minute, I'll get your microphone. Hold on. And you can tell the whole church. Right, there we go. You read it out.
The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the rich
field.
The field which someone has found.
Bless you. Thank you very much. Well done. Perfect. There you are. Well, I won't take that away from you. So, thank you, children. Don't eat all your chocolate at once, but thank you for making your treasure boxes. I hope you value Jesus as the best treasure there is. You can go and take your seats now. Thanks a lot. Wonderful. Right, well, we have one final hymn to sing now, a great hymn, Be Thou My Vision. So please stand. We're going to sing our final hymn. Thank you.
O Lord, O both waking and sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my true word, be thou ever with thee, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Be thou in me dwelling, and I with sword for the fight. Be thou my whole armor, be thou my true might, be thou my soul's shelter, be thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. My King of heaven, thou heaven's bright sun, oh, grant me its joys after victory is won. Great heart of whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
So let's share in the grace with one another, shall we? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.